And when you swallow your negative emotions, your stomach keeps score. People say, oh, my aching back. Oh, my aching stomach. Wonder where that's at. I said, well, maybe it's because what's eating you. God says, admit your faults to each other that you may be healed. Now, why do I need to drag one other person into this? I'll tell you why. And get this. It's simple to say, but it's profound in its meaning. The root of all our problems are relational.
Pastor Rick Warren says that every word Jesus spoke was important and has life-changing power. There are seven words in particular that Jesus spoke during his final hours on the cross that hold the keys for finding fulfillment in your life, career, and relationships. Thanks for joining us here today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue in a brand new series called The Seven Greatest Words of Love. Now, in just a few moments, we're going to let you know how to get the 7 Greatest Words of Love DVD study kit that can be used for independent Bible study or with a small group. This kit is sure to help you grow closer to the Lord. If you'd like to take a sneak peek while you listen to today's broadcast, just go to PastorRick.com or text the word DAILY to 99000. That's the word DAILY to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called The Word of Forgiveness.
Can a guilty conscience make you sick? Oh, yeah. One study I read said that over 50% of the people in the hospital could go home tomorrow if they knew how to get rid of either resentment or guilt. Resentment, what other people have done to me, or guilt, what I've done to other people. And if they could just deal with those two twin misery buddies, they could leave the hospital. Yes, guilt can make you sick. David said, I was miserable. I felt terrible. The strength evaporated out of my life. See, a lot of times people are sick and they think, well, maybe I'm not eating the right thing. Well, you may not be. Maybe you need to correct what you eat. But also, you need to check out not just what you eat, but what's eating you. Because what's eating you can make you fatigued. Can make you stressed out, can make you have no energy. Can guilt cause depression? Sure, it's a form of atonement. I've done wrong, so I'll just make myself depressed. Can guilt sabotage success? Absolutely. Listen to this. Many people, you've probably done this, have sabotaged their own success because they thought, I don't really deserve this. I've met very famous people who, at the height of their fame, did something really stupid and sabotage their success. Why? Because they never felt like they deserved the success. Why? Because they felt guilty and they didn't know how to get rid of their guilt. Psalm 38, verse 4 and 6, David says, my guilt has overwhelmed me, and it, like a load, it weighs me down because I was foolish. You know, I did something dumb. I'm bent over and I'm bowed down and I'm sad all day long. That's called depression. I'm sad all day long. He says, my guilt overwhelmed me. You know the problem with punishing yourself, and some of you have been doing this? You did something wrong a long time ago, and you knew it was wrong, but you're still punishing yourself over it. You know the problem with punishing yourself? You don't know when enough's enough. You don't know when to stop the punishment. And so you just keep it on and on and on. Some of you are still beating yourself up over stuff that happened years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, as a child. And you're still beating yourself up. That's not smart. That's not wise. Now, those are the ways we typically deal with guilt. Bury it, blame, and beat ourselves up. That's not what God wants you to do. What does Jesus want you to do with guilt? He wants you to do two or three things. Write these down. Number one, the Bible's very clear and very specific about how to get off a guilt trip. Now, the steps are simple, but they're not easy. Okay? Number one, admit it. That's the first thing. I just have to admit it. I've got to get out of denial. We talk a lot about this in Celebrate Recovery. Getting out of denial is like the first step. Okay, I've got to admit it. I don't bury it. I don't deny it. I don't ignore it. I just own up to it. I blew it. I did wrong. Now, sometimes when we run from guilt, we try to run from it by keeping busy and we keep ourselves so busy overworking. And you know what? You can even do that with ministry. A lot of people who are actively involved in ministry are doing it for the wrong reason. They're running from their guilt. That's not a good reason to serve God. It's not a reason to serve others. And they're trying to atone for it in their background. It's, I did these things wrong, now I'm gonna make up for it. And so a lot of times we try to deal with the guilt by moving quickly, literally moving. Some people will move away. I blew it in a certain area, so I'm gonna move away from that area, I'm gonna travel. But you know the problem with that? Wherever you go, you take yourself. So you could move to Tahiti and you're gonna take your guilt with you. And when you finally slow down, and a lot of workaholism is motivated by guilt. When you finally slow down and you put your head on the pillow at night and you be quiet, all that guilt rushes in and you don't like that feeling, so you get up and you start working again. That doesn't work. I just need to admit it. Look at some verses from the Bible. Proverbs 20, verse 27. The Lord gave us a mind and he gave us a conscience. We cannot hide from ourselves. Circle, we cannot hide. We cannot hide from ourselves. That's why guilt is so devastating in your life. You can hide it from others. You can hide it from others, but you cannot hide it from yourself. Look at this verse up here on the screen. 1 John 1:8 says this. If we claim to be without sin, we're just deceiving ourselves. We're deceiving ourselves. We're lying to ourselves. We're doing that rationalizing again. We claim to be without sin. We just deceive ourselves. We don't deceive God. We don't deceive other people. They know we're sinners. We're just deceiving ourselves. And the truth is not in us. So I've got to start with just admitting it. I want you to write this down on your outline. To stop defeating myself, I must stop deceiving myself. If you don't get anything else, get this. To stop defeating myself, I must stop deceiving myself. What are you pretending is not a problem in your life? Oh, it's not a habit. It's not an addiction. It's not a problem. I can handle it. What are you pretending isn't a problem in your life? If I want to stop defeating myself, I've got to stop deceiving myself. Once a year, I sit down at least once a year and I do what I call a personal moral inventory. It's one of the steps we do in recovery. And I just sit down and I say, okay, God, give me a list of everything between me and you and give me a list between me and everybody else. What's the stuff that's the sticking point? What's the sin, the failure, the mistake, the problem, the difficulty? What's the bad habit? What's the wrong attitude? And I just sit still and I'll just make a list. And sometimes that list is quite long. And this is the power of confessing to God. As I start by admitting it, you make a personal moral inventory. Say, God, what's the things in my life that are blocking fellowship with you? Why don't I feel so joyful anymore? Why don't I feel so enthusiastic anymore? Why don't I feel close to you anymore? And then what's the stuff between me and my wife or me and my kids? What's the stuff between me and the people I work with? And you admit it. You got to write it down. Lamentations 3:40 says, let us examine our ways and test them. So here's what I would highly recommend you do this week. It's a good time to do it. Just get alone with God, get a blank sheet of paper, maybe a little yellow pad, and a pencil or pen, and just say, ask God to bring to mind anything in your life that needs to be confessed. And then just write it down. Now, nobody's going to see this list. Right now, you're just going to write it all down. You're unconsciously guilty about. I put together a spiritual evaluation tool years ago. Many of you have used it. If you'd like a copy, just email me, pastorrick@saddleback.com. I'll send it to you this week. Just say, I want let's just call it the sin list. That's easy. It's a personal moral inventory, and we'll send that to you. And you make a list of all the faults that come to mind. You take your time. You say, why do I need to write it down? Why can't I just think about it? Can I just think about it? No, you can't. Something about writing it down on paper makes it specific. Francis Bacon said, reading makes a broad man, writing makes a specific man. Thoughts disentangle themselves when they pass through the lips and the fingertips. When you can say it and you can write it, then you've really thought about it. But if you just think about it in your mind, it's not serious. So write it, it forces you to be specific. Now, once you admit it, you're ready for the second step. And it's this, accept responsibility. That's the second step. Means I'm not gonna blame anybody else. They may be 99% at fault and I'm 1% at fault. All I'm gonna deal with is my 1% right now. I'm not dealing with your problem, your sin, your hang up. I'm dealing with me. I accept responsibility.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and our series called The Seven Greatest Words of Love. There's more coming up. And when you have a minute, be sure to check out PastorRick.com for tons of great resources. While you're there, go ahead and sign up for his free daily email devotional and free podcast. And follow Rick on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn.
Pastor Rick Warren says that every word Jesus spoke was important and had life-changing power. That's why Rick has put together an amazing 7-session DVD study kit called The Seven Greatest Words of Love. In it, he focuses on the last 7 statements that Jesus spoke during his final hours on the cross. These words unlock the full meaning and amazing blessings of Jesus' last words before his resurrection. Words of forgiveness, assurance, love, trust, and more. We'll send you a copy of the study kit to say thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get yours. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can call 800-600-5004. Again, call 800-600-5004. Thanks so much for your support.
Once again, here's Rick.
You know, one day, King David had a moral failure in his life. And he looked out of his palace and he sees a beautiful, gorgeous, nude woman bathing on her roof. Is that where you ought to be bathing? On your roof? Knowing that the palace can look down on you? Well, okay, no, obviously. And when David saw her, as you know, it eventually led to adultery and murder. And she got pregnant with David's child, and David murdered, or had her husband murdered. And when David writes out his moral inventory, it's called Psalm 51, if you ever want to read it. Psalm 51 is David's moral inventory and confession of sin after his adultery with Bathsheba. In that, he doesn't blame Bathsheba for 1% even. He takes it all on himself. Fine. Did Bathsheba have to say yes to David? No, she did not. But David doesn't blame her for the affair. He just takes it on himself. And in Psalm 51, verse 3, he says this, I recognize my faults and I am conscious of my sins. Now, what is the best way to ensure that you have accepted responsibility for the dumb things you've done in your life? What's the best way to do that? And it's going to shock you. I told you it's simple, but it's not easy. The best way to accept responsibility is to tell one other person. Oh, no, you got to be kidding me. My deepest, darkest, dirtiest secret. Yeah. Now, you don't go tell a gossip, and you certainly don't tweet about it. Okay? That's not what you find somebody who's going to be a friend, who's going to love you unconditionally. That's what a friend does. A friend walks in when everybody else walks out. A friend is somebody who can listen to your worst sin and will still love you. And everybody needs one person in their life like that. And admit your fault to another person. In fact, God says this is an essential key to letting go of guilt. James 5, let me stop right here. Many of you have confessed your sins to God and you still feel guilty because you haven't done this step. You have confessed your sin to God over and over and over and over and over and you still feel guilty. But you've never told one other person. Here's what God says, James 5:16. Admit your faults to one another, doesn't say to God, to one another, and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Circle the word healed. Now, let me explain this. If you want to be forgiven for the stuff you've done wrong, all you need to do is tell God. But if you want to be healed of the negative emotions, you need to tell one other person. Say it again. If all you do is want to be forgiven, you just need to tell God, but you'll still be haunted by your own emotions. If you want to be set free, you need to tell one other person. Write it down and tell one other person. Jesus says, or the Bible says, confess your faults one to another, pray for each other that you may be healed. How many times have I said this? Revealing your feeling is the beginning of healing. Revealing your feeling is the beginning of healing. You say, I don't want to do that. Then you want to carry the guilt the rest of your life. Fine. And you can take it out on your, if you don't talk it out, you're going to take it out on your body. And when you swallow your negative emotions, your stomach keeps score. People say, oh, my aching back. Oh, my aching neck. Oh, my aching stomach. Wonder where that's at. I said, well, maybe it's because what's eating you. God says, admit your faults to each other that you may be healed. Now, why do I need to drag one other person into this? I'll tell you why. And get this. It's simple to say, but it's profound in its meaning. The root of all our problems are relational. You say, no, this is just between me and God. No, it wasn't. The root of all our problems are relational. You are reacting still to relationships in your life that you didn't like. Today, you're still reacting to relationships you didn't like. And those relationships may have been a long, long time ago, but they're still pushing you in a direction that you don't want to go. And as your pastor who loves you and care for you, I'm telling you that the root of your problem is relational. And we're all dishonest with each other, and we play games, and we wear masks, and we pretend. Write this down. Here's another one to write down. We've talked about this before. I'm only as sick as my secrets. I'm only as sick as my secrets. Secrets make us sicker. And we hold them on. The way we get healed, revealing your feeling is the beginning of healing. The more you hide it, the more you hurt. The more you hide it, the more you hurt. And because we are not honest with each other, we're not only not honest with God, we're not honest with each other, we're dishonest. We play games, we wear masks, we pretend we have it all together. It isolates us from each other. It causes fear, prevents intimacy, creates insecurity. If they really knew me, they'd reject me. Everybody needs at least one person in their life they can be totally honest with. It's God's way of freeing us. That's why you need a small group. You're most likely to find that person in a small group. So I admit it. I accept responsibility. And there are only three steps to getting rid of guilt. Here's the third one. Ask for forgiveness. Ask for forgiveness. There are so many promises in the Bible about forgiveness if you'll take these three steps. 1 John 1:9 is the most famous one. If we admit, if we freely admit that we have sinned, we find God utterly reliable. Notice it doesn't say, if we freely admit we've sinned, we find God utterly punishing, utterly mad, utterly angry. It doesn't say that. It says, when we admit to God we've sinned, that makes God happy, not sad. A lot of people think, well, if I admit to God, God's going to be mad at me, as if he doesn't already know. No, he knows. He just wants you to admit that you know and you recognize that was wrong, what I did. Please put the verse back up there again. If we freely admit that we have sinned, we find God utterly reliable. He forgives your sins, and he makes us thoroughly clean from all that is evil. So I ask for forgiveness. Now there's even a right way to ask for forgiveness, and there's a wrong way. Let me tell you the wrong way to ask for forgiveness. First, don't beg. Oh God, please, 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 pretty please with sugar on it, cherry on top. Oh God, please, 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 please. Like God is unwilling to forgive you? No, he's more willing to forgive you than you are willing to admit it. God is more willing to forgive you than you're willing to admit it. You don't have to bribe or bargain or beg God. You don't bribe and say, God, if you'll forgive me, then I'll do this good work. You don't bargain. God, if you forgive me, I'll never do it again. God said, yeah, you're right. You'll be back there in another day or so. Forgiveness does not change the future. It clears up the past. That's another episode we need to deal with later on in this series. But you don't beg. You don't need to. God wants to forgive you. You don't bargain. I'll never do it again. You don't bribe. Well, God, I promise I'll tithe 20%. No, just ask. Romans 3, 23 and 24 says this. All of us have sinned, duh, yet God declares us not guilty if we trust in Jesus Christ, who in his mercy freely, circle the word freely, freely, you don't have to bargain, bribe, beg, freely takes away all our sins. Now, notice it says, if you just trust, if we just trust in Jesus Christ. You say, but Rick, you don't know what I've done. It doesn't matter what you've done. I don't need to know what you've done. I could tell you this. What matters is what Jesus has done for you. That's what the cross is all about. We said that when we look at the cross, Jesus hangs on the cross, and the first thing he says is, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. So the first message of good news, the first word of love from the cross is the word of forgiveness. And when you come to God humbly, honestly, admitting, accepting, and asking, God says, Father, forgive them. They don't know, Jesus says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He comes, his immediate response is forgiveness. Now, you may be saying, you know, I've done that, Rick. I've asked God over and over and over to forgive me, but I don't feel forgiven. Well, let me just say a couple things. You don't have to ask over and over and over and over and over. When you ask over and over and over, you're acting like God didn't hear you the first time. When you ask over and over and over, you're saying, I don't really believe you forgave me. That's a sin. I don't really believe you forgave me, so I'm going to ask again. Because I haven't forgiven myself, I'm going to ask again. The problem isn't God. The problem is you haven't confessed it to another person and let it go.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Now, if you missed any part of today's message, no problem. Just go to PastorRick.com and listen online anytime. And while you're at it, sign up for Rick's free daily email devotional. And remember to click on his social media links too. Pastor Rick Warren says that every word Jesus spoke was important and has life-changing power. That's why Rick has put together an amazing 7-session DVD study kit called The 7 Greatest Words of Love. In it, he focuses on the last 7 statements that Jesus spoke during his final hours on the cross. These words unlock the full meaning and amazing blessings of Jesus' last words before his resurrection. Words of forgiveness, assurance, love, trust, and more. We'll send you a copy of this study kit as a way to say thanks for your financial support of Daily Hope. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get yours. That's PastorRick.com, or you can call 800-600-5004. Again, just call 800-600-5004. And thanks so much for your support. And now here's Rick with a closing thought.
Let me close this broadcast by sharing a letter from a listener in Rome, Italy. Her name is Heshen, and she says, Pastor Rick, I've relocated to Rome, Italy, where I'm currently working at the World Food Program. I really love listening to your sermons, and I also love reading your daily devotionals, which I share with many of my colleagues serving in the field offices in Africa and in other hardship duty stations. They appreciate receiving the message very much. God bless you, Heshen in Rome. Now, did you get this? A message that is starting in Southern California in the United States of America is being sent to Europe in Rome, Italy, and then it is being resent out to other continents like Africa. That is the amazing age of technology that we live in today. And that's why your gifts go much further than they used to go even 20 or 30 years ago. Our ability to reach listeners like Heshen and her friends, not just in Europe, but in Africa, is a direct result of your prayers and your support for Daily Hope. So thanks so much. And by the way, join me next time when we continue looking into God's Word for our Daily Hope.
Daily Hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.